There is something in our northern hemisphere souls that is needed at this time of the year. The beginning of the month of February is rife with holidays. Today is actually Candlemas, celebrated on February 2nd in the Christian calendar with the lighting of candles, which may be traced to an ancient Greek festival of purification and celebration of the return of the sun, and is possibly also connected to the Roman festival of Februalia, according to history.com. Februalia was a month-long period of sacrifice and atonement involving offerings to the gods, prayer, and sacrifices. Candlemas occurs on the 40th day of and is the conclusion of the Christmas to Epiphany season. It is thought that on this day, Jesus was presented at the temple, 33 days after his circumcision, in accordance with Jewish tradition. Some Christians leave their decorations up until this day, so if yours are still up, you're in good company. What about this Celtic goddess, Brigid, whose stories cross over into early Irish Christianity as Saint Brigid? Brigid was a name by which all goddesses were known in pagan Ireland. She possessed a triple form, being the patroness of poetry and learning, smithcraft and healing. Who was Saint Brigid? Carol Cusack, writing on the life of St. Brigid, endorses Seamus O'Cathain's suggestion that we should refer to her as a holy woman and avoid favoring either pagan or Christian interpretations of the stories told about her. Again, according to history.com, the celebration of St. Brigid's Day on February 1st was put in place by the church to replace Imbolc. On her feast day, an effigy of St. Brigid of Kildare is traditionally washed in the ocean and surrounded by candles to dry, and stalks of wheat are transformed into cross talismans known as Brigid crosses. I have a lovely one on the altar there. You may look at it closely, but please don't touch. The form of that cross symbolizes the fiery sun and maintains continuity with the goddess's association with the sacred smith and his fire. According to an 8th century hagiography, Vita Prima Sancti Brigidae, that's a life story of a saint, Brigid may have been the daughter of a slave and a chieftain. She is alleged to have lived from 452 to roughly 526 in the Common Era. Legend has it that as she matured, she obtained considerable agricultural knowledge. Apparently, she had no interest in marrying, instead having as her life's goal the creation of a monastery in Kildare, which coincidentally is the presumed site of a shrine to the Celtic goddess Brigid. In so doing, she became Ireland's first nun, known for her charity to the poor, and was a younger contemporary of St. Patrick. The holy woman, Brigid, was so revered that 12th century accounts report that the nuns in Kildare attended to a fire built in St. Brigid's honor. The fire had burned for 500 years and produced no ash, and only women were allowed in proximity of that fire. That perpetual fire was extinguished in 1220. You may recall the sermon I preached on St. Patrick's Day last year, in which I talked about the role of 5th and 6th century Irish monastic communities in preserving historical and cultural information when civilization, as it had been, was in danger of being lost completely. Pre-Christian traditions were committed to writing and entered into dialogue with Christian textual products, resulting in the syncretism of pagan and Christian lore. As Carol Cusack writes in Bridget, Goddess, Saint, Holy Woman, and the Bone of Contention, the goddess was retained in a Christian form. This was a lengthy and complicated transformation which took place over several centuries. Bridget was part of the old Irish religion that continued into the new Christian culture. Bridget was remade in Christian form and occupies a space between myth and history, pagan and Christian, oral and written, vernacular and Latin, folkloric and ecclesiastical. She is both goddess and saint, a holy woman to celebrate at the halfway point between winter solstice and spring equinox. Permit me one more comment about early February celebrations. Unlike Candlemas and Imbolc or St. Bridget's Day, Groundhog Day, designated as February 2nd each year, may have little relationship with Christian or pagan holidays of old. It truly was a publicity stunt in 1887 by Pennsylvania Germans in Punxsutawney. I will say that as a geologist, my father thought that Groundhog Day on February 2nd made a much better day to hold the annual holiday office party than trying to cram it into the hustle and bustle of December. And that's why my mother is having a candle of remembrance lit for him today at church. Each of these holidays may have some lore woven into them that clear weather forebodes a prolonged winter. So, is it the first day of spring, or do we have six more weeks of winter? I'm not sure whether it's cloudy out there or not. Let us now take a journey to Bridget's forge and see what her fire might reveal to each of us. Jeanette's going to lead the meditation.
I invite you now to get as comfortable as possible in the pews that you are in. We're going to take a little bit more time for this meditation this morning. And sometimes when people are meditating, it's easy for that monkey mind to get a little crazy and you start thinking about your trip to the grocery store or the things you need to do this afternoon. And I just invite you, as you start to wander, if you just always come back to your breathing and your pulse and just stay focused whenever you start to wander. But I'm going to take you through a journey, and I invite you to relax and join in and just listen to the words and remember to breathe, most important. All right, so get comfortable, shake out all the morning craziness. You can close your eyes if you feel most comfortable doing so. And begin by taking a deep breath. Inhaling slowly for a count of five, and exhaling, making the in-breath match the out-breath. Breathe in, and slowly breathe out. And one more time, inhaling slowly and exhaling, breathing in perfect rhythm. With each breath that comes in and goes out, you feel your body begin to let go and relax. Any pain you feel, just breathe into it and relax. You feel the tension washing away from your forehead, your eyes, and your jaws, as though someone were pouring a warm cleansing libation over you. The tightness in your shoulders falls away, and this wonderful healing waterfall works its way down through your arms, your chest, your belly, your sacral chakra, and on down into your hips and your lower back, your sitting bones, feeling all tightness and tension drain away, down through your legs, and your feet, down through your toes, and into the rich black soil of Mother Earth. As you relax, remember your breathing. Breathe in slowly and breathe out. Feeling calm and free, you find yourself walking on a path through a lush pine forest. You breathe in the invigorating scent of the evergreens on this late winter's day. The sky is clear and blue as a robin's egg, and the sun filters down through the trees, warming your shoulders and lifting your spirits. The birds are chirping happily overhead, and you hear the faint rustlings of squirrels and other little forest creatures as you pass by. Being in this natural place puts you at ease, and you feel perfectly safe as you walk along the trail. You know that you are part of this woodland, and it is also part of you. The path widens up ahead, and you can see that it opens up into a grassy, rolling meadow. A thin trail of smoke is rising from just over the next hill, and you begin to walk in that direction. As you crest the hilltop, you see that the smoke is coming from a blacksmith's forge. Something about the place calls to you, as if you'd been there before in some other time. So you make your way down the grassy hill. As you get closer to the forge, you can feel the heat from the glowing embers of the hearth. You look around and see all of the blacksmith's tools, the anvil, the bellows, and various sets of tongs and hammers. You sense that someone is near, and then you see her. She seems to glow and shine from within, a soft white light. The light illuminates her face, and her long red hair cascades down in waves over her emerald green dress. You know her at once. She is Bridget, the ancient Celtic goddess of the forge, and she welcomes you. She hands you a scrap piece of metal and asks you to think about what it could become as you place it in the red-hot coals of the hearth. What will you create with your own unique gifts and talents? Can you take something rough and plain and make something of beauty? Can you make something useful and practical? How will the fire from Bridget's forge shape and mold your dreams? How will the fire transform you? Bridget takes the metal from the hearth and begins to shape it. Sparks fly as she wields her hammer, and when she is finished, you see that she has created a symbol just for you, to remind you of your divine purpose. When the metal has cooled, she places the symbol in your hands and tells you that it will give you strength and courage to pursue your destiny. You give thanks to the goddess as you leave the forge and you make your way up the grassy hill and into the forest. The sun is lower in the sky now, and his healing rays are glowing in the brilliant shades of orange, just like the fire in Bridget's forge. You walk out of the forest and back into your own sacred space. feeling grounded in your body again as the energy returns to your arms, your legs, your hands, and your feet. Take a few deep breaths now. Breathe in slowly and release. And when you are ready, open your eyes, feeling grateful for the symbol you have received and the lighter days ahead as winter begins to recede. Take that symbol with you. Think on it to remind you of how you are evolving through the seasons. So mote it be.